Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and my co-host is Misty Hall, and we're here tonight for our Straight Wives Talk Show. Hi, Misty. How are you?
I'm doing great, Bonnie. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, and happy holidays to everyone, whether it's Easter or Passover. And I know that on the East Coast here, we had a beautiful summer-like day. How about where you are, Misty?
I could not have ordered a better day. It was perfection, a day of perfection here in Kentucky.
And for so many people who've had such horrible winters, hopefully this was a good day for you as well. One of the things that we wanted to talk about tonight, Misty, before we get started, is about your upcoming grief sessions. And maybe you can tell a little bit about that to our listeners.
Thank you, Bonnie. Yeah, I'd like to share. I've got a couple good events, which I think are very important, that I'm offering this month. The first one I'm offering that comes up is a Saturday seminar. And every month I offer a Saturday seminar, which is always the second Saturday of the month. And this one is Restoring Femininity. And, Bonnie, as you know, the women we work with, that's usually something that's very important in this process, your healing journey, is to restore that feminine spirit, to feel like a woman again and to honor that. And oftentimes that feels like it's sort of stripped away after going through a gay straight marriage. So
absolutely.
I think that's
one of the major issues that all women can relate to.
Absolutely. I know it's something that I went through myself, and having gone through it, I think I'm better able to teach a seminar, you know, and share tips and tricks of how I feel like I gained it back. And that's going to be offered this coming Saturday, you know, a week from yesterday. And it starts at 1 p.m. Eastern time. It lasts for about an hour and a half, and you'll have time for questions and things like that at the end. And one thing I want to make sure everyone knows is any of the events that I offer, you can completely participate anonymously. That's the beauty of doing these events through a telecourse. You know, you don't have to give your full name or anything like that. So I just wanted to throw that out there, too, because I always get a lot of requests. You know, how does it take place? What happens?
Could you tell a little bit about how that works? You give people a number to call into?
Absolutely. What happens is I subscribe and I have what is called a bridge line or a conference line. And it's a number. And what it does, it allows people from all over. I've had people from across the seas, from different countries, to join in at a certain time because these telecourses are live. They all call into the same number, and they're given an access code. And when they get into the access code, it automatically puts them into a class, so to speak, a virtual class, if that makes sense, where everyone is open to discuss. Everyone is on the call together. So it's a great way to connect with other straight wives. I encourage people to, you know, at the end, I always open up the sessions to talk, discuss, you know, to reach out for that connection that sometimes is just, you know, as you know, just so important to reach out to others going through this so you don't feel like you're alone. And that's how it works. It's really simple. If you have a phone that's capable of dialing long distance, you can join us. It's that easy from the comforts of your home or wherever, you know, you can seek some privacy to join in on the call.
And a
so
lot
it's
of
that simple.
And can you use a cell phone for that too?
Yes, yes. You can use a cell phone. And the Saturday seminars, that's the great thing. Most people have free coverage. You know,
right,
like
that's
Saturday
what I was
going to
say. If you have any kind of cell phone plan, always gives you free weekends.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the regular phone companies also have weekend plans, so even if it is a long-distance call, a lot of people are able to get it for free.
And I have people, especially people that are from, you know, calling in from foreign countries, I can give them the number ahead of time, and I have they oftentimes like to check to see if it's covered on their plan, and quite oftentimes, believe it or not, some of it is covered on their plans. So, you know, if you need to know more about the number, I'd be happy to share that with you if you need to check it with your provider.
And
would
you just email you directly, Misty, to get that information?
Absolutely. They can email me directly, and it's my name. I will spell it out. It's Misty Lynn Hall, MISTILYNN, hall@aol.com.
And I'll just repeat that for people who may not hear it clearly. Misty Lynn Hall, one word, MistyLynnHall@aol.com. Or you can always write to me at bonkaye@aol.com, and I'll forward the information to you. And how often do these seminars take place, Misty?
I do the seminars every month. There's a new topic covered every month. It's always the second Saturday of the month, and occasionally I will start a workshop. And this month I'm also starting a new workshop, which is all related to the grief process that we go through and how the I have a specific grief model that I relate to straight loss, because we know it's a grief process. It's a transformation trying to get through this. So that will start. That's a four-week telecourse. And what that is, that's sort of spread out over time. And that will start, the first one will begin April the 19th. It will be every Monday, four consecutive Mondays. It starts at 8:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Zone. And those are live. On those, you'll also get to connect with other straight wives, which I find is a very important part of the process. It really is, to know you're not alone and to hear other people's wisdom and insight. It's
absolutely
just a good,
and I
just
think
wonderful experience.
It's so nice that we have our chat every, you know, twice a week also, where women can connect, but actually hearing people live is even that much better. And talking about hearing people live, we'd like to give you our call-in number. So if you have a pencil, please write it down in case you have any questions or issues you would like to discuss with us. It's area code 646-716-4893. And I'll repeat that. Area code 646-716-4893. And we welcome you to call with any of your questions or comments. And we said tonight that we wanted to have a theme for our show about talking about family relationships after the marriages, because this is certainly a subject that comes up to us a lot, that not only do you now have to deal with the marriage ending, but there's a lot of inner relationships between in-laws and families and siblings and your own parents. And I think this is really important when people say to us, how do we handle it? Who do we tell? And what happens after you do tell? Or many times at the end of a marriage, people who you thought were like parents to you or your in-laws all of a sudden don't talk to you anymore. And we find that a lot of the women who come to us have that double whammy of not only ending the marriage, but also ending the extended family. So, Misty, maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Wow. The first thing I guess I would like to point out is anytime you go through a change, through a process of going through divorce, it brings in the whole family, the extended family. It even reaches out. Some of us have friends that are like family, so it even spills over into that as well. And the dynamics of your relationship of being together is different now. It's very different, especially post-divorce. You'll have some friends that will fall away, and I think that's very hurtful, but it's reality. Some people will fall away because they don't know what to say to you anymore. They don't know how to respond. Some people feel like I think that they are not doing the other partner justice by, you know, maybe allying with one person versus the other, so they just fall apart altogether, and, you know, you lose that friendship. In terms of families, I see it happen often. Like you just said, oftentimes the in-laws will get mad at the spouse, the straight wife. But, you know, when things like that happen, you have to realize, you know, what part of the story are they hearing? And also, maybe they're going through the same denial that we as straight wives have gone through. You know, because no one really wants this to happen. This is a very delicate subject, and it's even more delicate to share the subject with families. And I'll even think it may be helpful if I share a part of my story of what happened to me. I grew up in eastern Kentucky. I grew up thick in the Appalachian Mountains, which you can probably tell by my accent. but I grew up in an area that I was not exposed to gay men or, you know, lesbians. However, looking back now, I know they lived there. I'm sure they just had to keep it undercover, like most places. It was small town USA, and it was not openly accepted, which is really sad. But looking back, I was so afraid to even think that my then husband at the time was gay. I thought, you know, gay people don't get married, so he couldn't be. There's something wrong with me. Over the years, I internalized that. And then finally, I came to the realization this has to be what it is, because nothing else was fitting, and I was doing everything I could.
And
I came to a point.
I don't mean to interrupt you at that point, but I would like to ask you a question.
Okay.
When you first started, you know, realizing that's what it was, did you feel any sense of self-blame?
Oh, absolutely. I thought I helped cause it.
Mm-hmm. I think women have to understand that feeling that you were feeling, because I think we all go through it. What did I do to make this happen?
I had people make that comment to me, which even helped me build up that myth within myself. You know, what did you do to the marriage to make him gay? I've had people say that to me before.
Right, and they weren't gay when they married you. How did they become gay after they married you?
Absolutely. So, of course, I internalized it. I felt terrible. It was like, you know, if I could only make the pancakes more round, maybe he would love me. So I use that phrase a lot because it has nothing to do with pancakes. It has nothing to do with making the pancake more round. It has nothing to do with trying harder. It is what it is. He was gay, and I'm straight. And it just was, like you call it, a mismarriage. It was just a mismarriage. And I didn't understand that at the time. I thought a lot of it was my fault. And being that I took on a lot of the blame, I was having trouble seeking out support. But, you know, who wants to admit to someone, hey, I caused my husband to be gay. Now what do I do?
Now, let me ask you this before you go on. When you first got married, were you close with his family?
Yes. Yes, I knew his family. His family was very accepting of me, and I was very, and my family was very accepting of his family. I lived in a small town. I didn't know his family, but we had mutual acquaintances, you know, people that did know each other.
Mm-hmm,
he was
but
from
you
a wonderful family.
Time, right? You met them before you got married.
What the fam? I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Did you meet them before you were married?
Oh, the family?
Uh huh.
Absolutely. We dated for over 2 years before we married.
Okay, so his family was living in the same town, his parents.
Absolutely. And he was still living at home, and I was still living at home. So when he would visit my home, he interacted with my family. And when I visited him at his home, I interacted with his family. Very nice family.
Mm-hmm. And when, when he told them that you were getting married, did they seem excited for you?
Yes. Looking back now, his mother had concern, which I never understood. And I don't know what the concern was other than he was an integral part of the family unit. He helped the family a lot in terms of, because, you know, his mother was disabled, so he helped the family a lot. And at the time, I was thinking, well, I guess she just is going to miss him because he does, you know, just little things for the family, thoughtful things for the family.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back now, I often wonder, did she know something that I didn't know? And I don't know. She's deceased now, so I don't know. I have no idea what she meant by that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he came from a good family, good, respectable family. And, you know, where I'm from, that's important. You know, my parents are still married to this day. His parents were married until his mother died. And so it was important for both of us to remain married. You know, I thought marriage was for life. So anyway.
Did he have siblings also?
Yes, he did. He did. He was from a larger family than I only have one brother. There were several in his family. So he came from a larger family. And it was, upon divorce, it was very unfortunate because my marriage turned pretty ugly. Through the years, it became very abusive. There was a lot of domestic violence involved. And I realized after speaking to my attorney that I had to file some domestic violence orders, some emergency protection orders for my own safety, because at that point in time, my life had been threatened on several occasions. I mean, it was getting almost weekly. And at the advice of my attorney and friends, close friends, they said, you know, you have to really divorce yourself from the family as well. Not that they're bad people, but he really doesn't need to know, you know, where you are or what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
And that was hard. That was very hard. Because, you know, I cared for his family dearly. And I know they cared for me. So that was such a hard part and part of the grief, part of my grief and part of my loss, was having to say goodbye to his family.
Now, do you think his family was aware of anything that was going on through those years?
No. They knew that we had some problems. I think they thought it was mostly financial issues because, to be very frank, he just wouldn't really work. And his family did not support that. That would always be some contention between him and his family due
mm-hmm.
to my ex's work habits. They did not condone that. You know, they believe, you know, you help support the family, you know, that's part of your deal, too. So they didn't support him in that. But his family was very kind to me in many ways. So it was a great loss for me that I had to divorce the whole family due to domestic violence issues.
Now, did you ever have a conversation with them after that point?
No, I didn't. What I did, by the time I filed for divorce, we had been somewhat separated due to me taking care of my father. My father had been in a terrible, terrible car accident. And we'd been not separated in terms of going through the divorce, separated in terms of physical location. I was living with my parents to help care for my father for a couple of months, and which probably saved my life. But anyway, that's a different story and a different topic on domestic violence. At that point in time, by the time I realized he was gay, that I just couldn't lie anymore, because I felt over the years I had really lied and I had covered things up and I had protected him.
Uh-huh.
And it came to a point to where I had to protect myself. I had to get out of this alive. I had to protect myself. I couldn't live in the lies anymore. It was destroying me, and I saw it destroy him in terms of, because he didn't want to be gay. I know he didn't. Even though we don't have a relationship today, I'll certainly say that he did not want to be gay. And he had his own internal struggles with it. And I came to the point, it was the best part for me to divorce the family, because I did not want to have to lie to the family, but I also felt that it was not my place to tell his family that he was gay. That was his duty and his responsibility, and not necessarily just the duty and responsibility, you know. I didn't divulge that information because due to religious background that we both were in, I thought that he would probably lose his family if they thought he was gay. And I did not want that to happen, so I thought that was up for him to decide if or when they needed to know. It wasn't my responsibility. So it helped that was one thing that helped me to justify the divorce of the whole family, was to realize it's not my place to tell them what's going on.
And I do want to bring up at this point that that's an individual decision that each person has to make for herself.
Absolutely. That's what suited me best at that time.
Right. Other women feel that need to tell the family, and I say that's fine. You know, every situation is different, but sometimes it's the only explainable thing to tell families, because they can't understand why a marriage that they thought was so wonderful is now splitting up. And a lot of times, you know, if you're very involved with your in-laws or a part of a family unit, you know, they sit and point a finger at you and it has nothing to do with you. So
absolutely.
I do know some women feel, well, they're not going to say anything because of whatever the reasons are, like you had. And yet other women feel the need to, I hate to use the term defend themselves, but at least explain the situation so that, you know, there can be a better understanding. But I think
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, sometimes it backfires, you know, when you do tell, because people just don't understand homosexuality, so the in-laws then start looking at you and say, well, my son wasn't gay when he married you. you know, you must have done something terribly wrong, that he would have to turn to men. And so sometimes it defeats its own purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that each woman has to make that decision on whether she wants the in-laws to know that or not.
Absolutely. And the mindset of where I grew up and where he is from and where I'm from was that homosexuality is a choice, not something you're born with. So therefore, it's something either I helped cause or maybe I led him to choose that route or maybe our faith wasn't strong enough. So I was dealing with all those things,
mm-hmm.
you know, to base my decision on. But I absolutely agree, especially in marriages that are lasting, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, you know, what is the explanation? You know, I didn't have to go that route and necessarily try to defend myself in that area. Like I said, my decision was based on more self-preservation of surviving was what mine was on at the time, and it suited my needs.
I think these are some of the issues that our women have such a hard time dealing with because they are different than when you have a straight wife with a straight husband. And
mm-hmm.
especially when you've been in a long-term marriage and the family feels you're part of their family and now the marriage is splitting up and the husband saying to his family, well, it was a mutual thing or we just grew apart. When it has nothing to do with growing apart, it has to do with him being gay. And so then
and
the
family... And rumors, of course, get back to you, and it's hard dealing with rumors. I even heard, and of course, you just have to treat it such as that, because anytime you hear a rumor, you don't know how much of it's truth, how much of it is fiction, or how much of it was said, or how much was not said. And, you know, people would call me and say, you know, he's telling his family that you've had an affair, you know, you've gone out with a lot of different men and things like that. And those comments are always hurtful. They're always hurtful. But you know what? I stuck to my guns, and I didn't make any contact.
Well, I think part of yours, though, was the fear factor, the fact of the physical violence involved, wouldn't you say so?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's why I brought up the domestic violence portion of it. You know, I do think that a lot of the clients that I have oftentimes can restore, and we've talked about this before, somewhat of a relationship, and I think that's wonderful. But there's also the side that never gets restored, and I think that's also important to point out. And I never encourage a woman or client to be quick to restore a relationship, especially when there's domestic violence involved. And that goes for a gay straight marriage or a straight marriage.
Yes,
there's
domestic
violence
is something that's totally mm-hmm. beyond even this issue. And yet
Absolutely.
We do have a number of women who are involved in those types of relationships where there is domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes mm-hmm. I think it's really because when somebody's so frustrated living a life that's not his to live, that he feels the need to lash out, and it turns into violence. So
mm-hmm.
I think that sometimes just that frustration, not knowing how to direct, you know, the truth, turns you even, you know, feeling more hostile towards your wife.
I think so. I think that was a lot of the issues that went on. I think that just exacerbated, you know, he had some anger issues, and of course it just made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Frustration and always trying to... I'm sure always trying to fight what he didn't want to be. I'm sure that added to it as well.
And I think that there are some in-laws also, because I've heard this from many women over the years, where the wives feel very, you know, frustrated because the mother-in-law will feel that, you know, she knew on some level that her son was gay and hoped
mm-hmm.
that by marrying this woman that that problem will be, quote, resolved. And
mm-hmm.
then when it's not resolved, you know, all of a sudden it becomes the wife's fault. So I think there's also some dynamics there as well where the families really are blaming the wife. They know that she didn't make them gay, but she didn't fix them either.
Right, right. And it's easier to, I think we live in a society where we need to place some blame, especially if you choose to believe that being gay is a choice. I think oftentimes people do look for some type of cause or blame, which is really sad, and which
right.
just makes it worse on a straight wife.
We just want to mention, if you would like to call in or add any comments, you can dial our number here at area code 646-716-4893, and we would be happy to discuss any issues with you or answer any questions that you have. Going back to the families, Misty, how about, you know, the women that you've dealt with and the women that I've dealt with? Do you see some of them still having strong relationships with their in-laws?
Yes, it happens. It can happen, especially when it seems that the parents are more open to the possibility of their son being gay and that it possibly wasn't a choice, that that's how they were, that's their life to live. So I do see families coming back together in terms of, and it's always nothing that I encourage the wife or the husband, for that matter, to force. Usually it takes some cooling off time. It takes some processing of this because it is such a major event, transformation in your life. So oftentimes, you know, especially on holidays, I hear that, you know, some of the women I've worked with early on, sometimes they contact me and say, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, I'm going to use Easter as an example. We were able to get together as a family, have an Easter dinner together, and it was so nice. So, you know, it's wonderful when you get to hear those stories. That after, you know, people have had time to process their grief and to figure out what's going on, to reconnect sometimes. So those are always wonderful, uplifting stories. But in their stories like mine, it doesn't always happen that way. So, you know, this is such a unique process, and it's so unique to the individual dynamics of each relationship. So you really have to decide what's best for you and what's best for, you know, your type of relationship that you're in. Where do you want to take it with in-laws and family members?
I know that a lot of times these men are very manipulative of their wives after the marriages are over. Even if the wife would like to discuss it with the in-laws, you know, they put all kinds of guilt trips on them. Well, if you tell that to my mother, she's going to have a heart attack. Or, you know, my father's, you know, going to get very ill and it will be your fault. You know, why do you have to tell them? But we do have a caller, and let's see what our caller would like to, you know, add to our discussion tonight. And we'll get her on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're here with Bonnie and Misty, and who is this calling in?
Hi, Bonnie, this is Dolly.
Oh, hi, Dolly, how are you? Thank you for calling us.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Dolly, you're calling from?
I'm calling from Washington State.
And how's the weather there today?
Oh, rainy and cold as usual.
Oh, okay, like spring didn't get there yet, right?
Well, we had a day or two, it was nice and warm, and then a big old storm came through, and it was windy and raining, and then it just kind of off and on rain for last week or so, and last time I looked at the weather forecast, it was rain for 10 days straight, so I just kind of gave up at that point.
Yeah, that would make you give up, too.
Yeah.
But on the bright side, at least it's not snow, I guess, if you have to find a bright side, right?
Yeah, we had no snow here this winter, so that was nice.
Yes, well, we had 42 inches in 1 week here.
Yeah.
So, anyway, have you been listening to what we're talking about with the families?
I have.
And maybe you could add some input of your own.
Well, mine is quite different, really, because my mother-in-law was present when my gay husband, at that time I didn't know he was gay, just kind of did his usual rant and rave and just verbally assaulted me.
Well, maybe you can tell us a little more first about the marriage. How long were you married for?
I was married 27 years.
Wow.
At the point that I found, well, first he asked for the divorce. And then it was 2 months later that I found out through my own detective work the reason why. And so by the time the divorce was final, it was 30 years.
Wow. And let me ask you this, Dolly. When you were first married, were you close with his family?
Not really, but they were likable people. I was first friends with my husband's sister, actually. She's the one that introduced us.
Hmm.
I worked with her.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you then?
I was 24 at the time, 24 or 25.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got married And we got married when I was 26.
And how old was he at that time?
We were the same age, actually. I'm like 6 weeks older than him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you date for a while?
We dated for a little better than a year by the time we got married.
And were there any problems in your relationship early on, or everything seemed like it should have been?
Yeah, everything was just fine. I mean, it just seemed like he just, you know, I kind of respected the fact that he didn't want to try to undress me, you know, right off the bat. You know, it was actually kind of refreshing that we got to know each other first, you know, before it got sexual, and I kind of liked that for a change, you know. When you're in college, it seems that's all the guys want to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where many of us were thrown off. We thought these guys are being respectful to us, so we really
yes.
like that fact.
Yes, and he was in the Air Force, an officer, and I thought, you know, the officer and the gentleman.
And at that point, there would be nothing to indicate to you anything about homosexuality. Is that correct?
No, nothing at all. I didn't think anything about that at all.
And did you know gay people then in your area? Because a lot of times people say, well, I really didn't know what gay was.
Well,
but at that point,
when I went to college, I did have a gay friend.
Mm-hmm.
But he was open and obvious. And I just thought that they all are.
Right.
I didn't know that there were some that were hidden.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so there was nothing that would have picked you off at all?
No, it wasn't just, I was, you know, maybe naive to that fact, but even when we were married, I didn't even go there in my head because I'm thinking, what in the world would a gay man want to marry a straight woman for? It just doesn't make sense.
Right, because I think that's how we're socialized, that gay is for the same sex and straight is for straight.
Yeah, and if you're gay, you want someone gay, the end, you know? I thought it was clear cut.
And I think that what throws us off is that a lot of these men, especially in their 20s or their 30s, they can perform sex. So we feel that, well, they're having sex with us, they can't be gay.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't obvious in that way either.
Mm-hmm.
The only clue that I had, it was just kind of, I mean, you know, it's nothing you can really put your finger on. It's just kind of times you can think back and think, that wasn't quite right. Or that wasn't quite the way it should have been. Like,
right, well, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and it's great after we know to be able to look back and see what that was.
Yeah.
But if we don't understand what it is, why would we think that's what it was?
Yeah, exactly. And now that I can think back, I remember Dina McGreevy, she was on Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an aha moment with her when she said that she told Oprah that her friend, or I mean, when he proposed to her, that he didn't ask, will you marry me? He just showed her the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it happened for me, too. He never asked me, will you marry me?
Mm-hmm.
He had this ring with him. We went out to a nice dinner. He had this ring with him, and he opened it up and showed it to me. And I said, how pretty, you know, and he just assumed.
Were you expecting him to ask you to get married?
I was expecting the question.
Mm-hmm.
But it never came.
Okay, so you got married.
Mm-hmm.
And your early years, would you say, were good in the relationship?
They were very good, the beginning years. I'd say maybe, 4 or 5 years. We were in Germany. He was stationed in Germany. And we went traveling. We had so much fun. We went on folks marches and went to Italy and went to all kinds of different places in Europe and just trekked all around. We had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And no clue at all. He was attentive to me. My daughter was born over there just before we came back to the States. And after she was born, even my friend who had come over and my mom who came through over to Germany, just thought, my husband was so wonderful and attentive and no clue.
And at that point, you had no clue either, correct?
No, I had no clue. Uh-uh.
So when did things start to change?
After he moved back to the States, and he became a little more withdrawn than what I was used to. He would not help me with the baby. If she was sick and up at night, he would never, ever get up out of bed. That was my job. I had to go get her. I had to attend to her. The only time he would get up out of bed in the middle of the night was when she was really sick and throwing up, and I needed him to hold her while I took the sheets off of her bed, wash them. He would get up long enough to do that. And it just, the attentiveness that I was used to was just going away.
So that's when your daughter was born, right?
Right.
And it started going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
But you still had no clue why.
Oh, I had not a clue why. I knew there was some change going on, but I didn't know what.
Was he away from home a lot or no?
Well, because of his Air Force career, after we moved back to the States, we were in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were here in Washington, and his parents were in Oregon. So, no, we weren't around family.
Mm-hmm.
We had no friends because we had just moved to a new place.
And so you went on, you had your first child, but then you went and had another child, correct?
Yeah, about 6 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And this was another very strange thing, too, now that I look back. We were married about 5 or 6 years before we had our first child, and it was in Germany. I remember him walking down the hall, and I remember him not even looking at me, and he just says, "I think it's time that we have a child.
Huh.
I think it's time we have a baby." And I thought, then he didn't even look at me? Is this the way the husband proposes to have a child with his wife?
Wow. So, okay, you went on. Still, the marriage just kept going on. You had another child. And then at that point, you were back in the States, right?
Right.
And were you back?
I was pregnant with my second child in the States. And we had moved to New Mexico by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I think I was 7 months along in the pregnancy. I was house cleaning, and I found condoms in his jacket pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I confronted him. I said, "What is that? We don't use these. Why do you need these?"
Mm-hmm.
And his excuse was, well, he goes down to watch the rated X movies, and he jerks himself off, and then he uses that to clean it up.
Uh-huh.
And so,
did you believe
naive,
that story?
Well, yeah, naive me. I'm thinking, he's never lied to me before.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, well, you know, I don't know what to think. I really, to tell you the truth, I kind of believed him because I've never noticed him look at other women. He just didn't seem like the type to be a womanizer.
And I guess he's not.
I guess he's
which
not.
Which is why he didn't
yeah.
seem like that.
Yeah. So that's why I think I believed his story of, you know, that's his explanation for the condom use.
Uh-huh. And so about how long after that did things start falling apart?
It was, well, after the second one was born. In New Mexico, it's a big hot air balloon thing.
Uh-huh.
And he bought himself a hot air balloon. And I had postpartum depression. I had problems with my thyroid.
Uh-huh.
And one of the side effects of thyroid is the sleep thing. You're so sleepy. And then to have a baby where you're up half the night every 2 hours nursing him, I was a wreck.
I'm sure you were practically dead.
I was. And he chooses this time to go to North Dakota or South Dakota to some friends for a few weeks to learn to be a pilot for a hot air balloon.
Uh-huh.
Then he comes back and buys a balloon, and then every weekend goes off with his friends to go hot air ballooning.
Uh-huh.
And here I am, I'm sleep deprived. I am just, all I want is a nap. And he has to get up early, like 4 o'clock to go ballooning, because that's just the time they do. By the time he gets home, it's noon, and then he wants a nap. So guess who gets the nap?
So I guess,
he took his nap, and
mm-hmm.
and I'm up all night with the baby, nursing every 2 hours, and not getting any sleep, and
that's
it
terrible.
Was just an attitude of he didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that unexpected from him at that point?
No, I had little clues along the way.
Attitude. Had his attitude been changing all along, or?
Yes, a little bit all along. My mom passed away when my daughter was about 2 years old, and I had got a call from my sister. She was caring for my mom near Chicago, and I got a call from her, and she said, well, you should come pretty quick because she's not going to last much longer. And my husband wasn't home. He was on some kind of military mission of some sort. So I called his boss because I couldn't contact him directly. And the boss got a hold of him, and then he called me. And I, here we have a dog. I have Annie, and my daughter was less than 2 years old,
mm-hmm.
and the house to take care of. And this is in North Carolina. My mom's in near Chicago. And so I was calling him, okay, what do I do about the house? What do I do about the dog? Should I fly? Should I drive? You know, and kind of wanted to call and get, his input on all of this. And I said, mom's dying. I have to go. You know what he said?
What did he say?
What do you want me to do about it?
Uh-huh.
My mom's dying. And he says, what do you want me to do about it?
Well, that's really terrible.
Yeah. So, things like that along the way were not good.
Mm-hmm. But you still didn't think the problem was what it was, right?
Oh, I had not a clue. I just thought he was just getting...
tired of you?
Yeah.
Did he ever say he felt trapped?
No, he never said he felt trapped.
Yeah, because that's a common word that a lot of these men use who are in their marriages.
But see, he never communicated. He was not a communicator. He wouldn't have even said that. He sure probably felt that, but he never said it. He
mm-hmm.
just didn't talk. He just didn't talk.
So then tell us how you found out eventually.
Well, how I found out was one of the tours of duty was Saudi Arabia. And... mm-hmm. all of us, my daughter, my son, and I went to Saudi Arabia with him. We were there a year, and some bombs went off, so they evacuated the family back to the States. But he had to stay there another year. And his boss's wife and I became good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that after we left, she could read that he was gay. And after he asked me for the divorce, I told her I didn't understand why he asked me for a divorce, because we never fight, he never says anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, ask him if he's gay. I said, what? I thought she was crazy. I thought she was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She said, no, just ask him. She says, I observe people. She says, it seems like after you guys left Saudi, because she stayed, they didn't have any kids at the time. over there with them. They were all older and back in the States already.
Uh-huh.
So she stayed with her husband after the other families were evacuated. So she was there observing my husband. And she just told me, after we left, that's when she kind of observed him.
Uh-huh.
The gestures, maybe the way he walked, that kind of thing. So that's how, if it weren't for her, I would have still probably not even had a clue.
All right, so after she told you, then what happened?
Well, I asked him point blank. She says, ask him if he's gay. So I did. I said, are you gay?
Uh-huh.
And he says, no. Like, it's a big joke. So then I called her back and I said, he says he's not gay. She says, he's lying. And I still thought, she's crazy. You're crazy.
Uh-huh.
I thought she was way off the mark. So what happened was I had a mutual friend, a guy that he worked with and his wife, I became fairly good friends with. This was in California when he was stationed at Edwards.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have his phone number, though. But we had a condo in Las Vegas, and from time to time they would rent it from us. And sure enough, I got a reservation in the mail that they were going to stay at our condo during this week. And I thought, aha, I don't have his number, but I can call the resort when they're there
uh-huh.
and talk to him. So I did. And I said, because I looked at his phone records, I asked the phone company to send me the statements because he had gotten them online
right.
prior to this. So I just asked for paper copies, and I called this number that he frequently called, and I just got a message. It says, hi, this is Steve, leave a message. And I thought, well, it's some guy he works with. He works in a field that's all men.
Mm-hmm.
Government contract work. So I just saw some guy I worked with. So anyway, the guy that was staying at our condo in Las Vegas, I called because I knew he and Larry were close. And so I did call him. I said, do you know some guy named Steve? And he said, yeah. Larry brought him to dinner with us one time. I really don't know too much about him other than he just brought him to dinner.
Uh-huh.
I still didn't have anything. I mean, it's some guy he brought to dinner. Big deal, you know. Those guys always go out to dinner.
Exactly.
And I thought, then I asked him, well, does he work with you all? And he said, no, he works for Southwest Airlines. Right then, that was my proof. Because I'm thinking, what is he calling this guy so much for?
Uh-huh.
If he doesn't work with them.
So then, at that point?
So then I confronted him, and I took it at an angle like I'm not asking him. I took it at an angle like I know, and what's your explanation?
Uh-huh.
So I said, how long have you and Steve been a number? And he looked right at me and said, none of your business.
Huh. And did you feel like you were kicked in the chest when he said that to you?
Well, yeah. It's none of my business. And then he said, you know, we've just grown apart over the years, and I don't have empathy, and I don't know where to get it.
That's what he said to you?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, did you explain to him the reason why he's grown apart over the years is because he's gay?
No, I just, I didn't get into that anymore. I just, after he said, it's none of my business, I just kind of turned and left. That's what else is there to say.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that.
So at that point, was that pretty much the end of the marriage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, see, he had asked for the divorce October 06.
Mm-hmm.
And I had found, I actually called cell phone company soon after that, but I got the statement and looked through the numbers, called the number, and just thought some guy he worked with, I put the papers away for a month.
So in other words, he had already asked you for a divorce.
Yeah.
And you still didn't really know why, right?
Right. I didn't know why, so I was trying to find out why.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I started with the cell phone record. I got the records, made the call to the guy, got the answering machine, and he said, "Hi, this is Steve," leave a message, and didn't think anything of it, cleared away for a month, and then just had a nagging feeling, brought it out again, made the call to the guy that Larry worked with, and that's when it just became crystal clear, when he said, "No, he doesn't work with us, he works for Southwest Airlines."
Let me ask you a question. During all that time, when you knew something was wrong and that you were growing apart, did you ever suspect that maybe he was having an affair with a woman?
Yes. Yes, I was, because I was thinking, even when I had the cell phone records, when I called that number, I was expecting a woman to answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when a man answered and said, you know, just leave a message and it's a guy, I'm thinking, boy, I'm off base. He's not having any affair.
Mm-hmm.
This is some guy he works with, so now what? I guess, expecting a woman.
I guess it was very confusing, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Now, at that point, you know, because that was a few years ago, but at that point, had you started to hear about women who were married to gay men?
It was after I found out he was gay, shortly thereafter, that I went online and found you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not a clue. Really, I had not a clue. Up until that time, like I said, I always thought gays wanted gays. And there's no reason for a gay to want to marry a straight. It just made no sense to me, Bonnie. It just made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even, my head just didn't even go there.
I guess it's a very hard thing when, once again, you're not socialized in that way. And, you know, we see more and more of it on television today than we did before. But still, for many years, you hardly saw it at all. And that would probably be the last thing you'd be thinking.
Yeah.
And that's why just to absorb that kind of information must have been really very shocking.
Oh, incredibly so.
So moving ahead, how did that affect your relationship with the in-laws?
Well, like I said, I was not really close to the in-laws to begin with. I remember before he asked me for the divorce, I had called his mom. We had gone to Hawaii for vacation, and he dropped the kids and I off at one beach, and he went to a nude beach.
Uh-huh.
Came back 4 hours later at dark to pick the kids and I up from the beach he dropped us off at. And I called and told her, I said, you know, this is just ridiculous. Why is he going to a nude beach in Hawaii, dropping the kids and I off at one beach? This is a family vacation. What is he doing?
Uh-huh.
And so that's when she said, I don't want to get involved. So I just, you know, I go, okay, fine. You know, she just doesn't want to get involved, so I thought, well, I'm not going to bother her.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, really, like it or not, you are involved if you want to see your grandkids again. And she has not to this day contacted my son or my daughter.
Wow. Not at all?
Not at all.
Now, was she in touch with them before that point?
She was kind of goofy anyway. Whenever she called the house and either me or the kids would answer, she'd say, "Oh, hi." She would never call me by my name. It was always, "Oh, hi. Is Larry there?" And she would do the same thing to the kids. She would never ask to talk to the kids through all the years they were growing up. She would never ask to talk to the kids. But the kids answered the phone when she called. She would do the same thing. "Oh, hi, is your dad there?"
Huh.
So, like I said, this person is not a type that I would really be interested in continuing a relationship with anyway. So,
did he have siblings or that you were friendly with? Or?
Larry's brother was okay, but even through the years we were married, because of he was in the Air Force too, and he was here and there, and we were here and there over the years. We just were never close because we never lived in the same area.
Mm-hmm. So do you think his family is aware of this now? Is he out to his family?
I did call his brother,
mm-hmm.
And shortly after I found out, because I threatened my ex that I was going to expose him, and so he took it on himself to tell his family, evidently, because when I called a month or so after I found out, called his brother, and I asked, do you know? And he said, yeah. He says, Larry took him to breakfast one morning and out to eat at this restaurant. He had just taken a sip of coffee and told him, and he says, I just about blurted it all out. He didn't know.
Did his brother seem surprised?
Like I said, he almost blurted his coffee out on him.
Mm-hmm.
Almost choked on it.
You know, do you think that his brother inwardly knew something was going on? Because I think a lot of times siblings have a better sense of this than we do.
I know that during the conversation I talked with his brother that just before Larry came out of the closet, he said that his sister had mentioned to him, does Larry seem to be acting kind of gay lately? That's what she said. So it was kind of a thing where when he asked me for the divorce, it was like he was ready to come out.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you notice any difference in his mannerisms? Like, you know, when you said the woman from overseas noticed that he was looking or acting gay and his family noticed it. Did you notice any difference?
I didn't. I noticed that... annoying things, like sometimes his voice would be kind of high pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what are you doing? You know? But I didn't think it gay. I just thought, I don't know. I really don't know. To look at pictures of him growing up as a boy,
mm-hmm.
He just kind of looked fruity.
Mm-hmm.
A little redheaded boy, just like the typical howdy doody type kid, you know? I mean, skinny, redhead, you know, pants are too short. He just looked fruity when he was a boy.
Well, how about when you met him as a man? I mean, were you attracted to him, or?
I was, because by then he had lost a lot of that kind of fruity look. The fruitiness, I thought, when he was a kid, a little boy, but then he was getting rid of it by the time he was mid-20 and we got married.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know. He was in the Air Force for 24 years, kept his cover.
That's a long time, and it's a long time, you know, of course, with the military policies, and I know we have a lot of women who write to me about this. You know, that if anybody finds out, that's the end of, you know, their service.
For career, yeah.
And then people are afraid to let it be known because then, you know, they're waiting on a pension.
Yeah.
You know, so women feel really torn about, you know, doing anything about it.
Yeah. Well, I got the satisfaction that many of the straight wives don't get, and that was a final admission. And the only reason that he admitted it finally was because it was an ultimatum that was given to him. He worked, after he got out of the Air Force, he worked for a government contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a top secret government clearance. And the Secret Investigative Services, OPM, had called me and asked who wanted the divorce and why. And by that time, I did find out he was gay, and I told them, and they said, oh, well, we didn't see that coming. And so I soon learned that they had given him an ultimatum because they did not want someone with a top secret clearance in a position to be blackmailed. So
uh-huh.
Either he was going to have to tell everybody, family, friends, relatives, you name it, everybody,
uh-huh.
that he was gay, then he could keep his top secret clearance if he became open. If he wanted to stay closeted, he would lose his top secret clearance and so lose his job.
Well, that's quite a position to have to be in.
Yep.
Misty, have you dealt with that at all with women who have husbands in the military?
You know, currently I'm thinking, as she said that, I was thinking back on my client list, and I currently do not have that. And I think it's little rules like that that really even hurt us greater as straight wives, because it's, you know, it sort of forces us into a relationship or to keep quiet or to keep our mouth shut or to keep us in the closet even longer. And not even when we mean anything malicious by it. It's just hurtful to us as well. So that's, I think that policy, I'm not very fond of that policy. And, of course, that the policy of, you know, don't ask, don't tell, whatever it is they want to call it, that could be a whole other topic within itself for this blog.
Oh, yeah, it really could be. Because I told him when I found out, I said, you used me as your cover for all of these years. And he didn't have anything to say. And that's why I think it's a little bit different, too, because I remember you saying, Bonnie, how some of these these gay men go into the relationship hoping, against hope, that maybe the wife would cure them or whatever. And I am thoroughly convinced that mine married me solely for his cover.
And there are men who do that. I think the vast majority of gay men who get married don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly there are extenuating cultural circumstances, religious circumstances, certainly where people marry because they feel they have to be married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no commitment there, and they know that, you know, it's never going to really work the way it should work in a marriage, but they feel they have to do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm very convinced that that was the reason he married.
Well, he didn't seem to show very much love or attention to you or to the children, correct?
No. As a matter of fact, he always busied himself. He always found an excuse not to be the husband, not to be the father. He got involved with Amway many years ago, where he was behind a locked door. And if the kids made any noise, he would come out and just verbally assault me because I didn't keep the kids' voices down.
Yeah, why can't you keep the kids quiet, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then of course, and he got off on this hot air balloon thing, and he was involved in that all the time and coming and going out early in the morning, and I would basically just stay home with the kids on weekends while he was out ballooning.
Let me ask you this: How was his relationship with the children, or what happened when they found out that he was gay? Did that change their relationship at all?
Well, my daughter, like him, has always been, rather distant herself growing up.
And how about your son?
My son is just. Right now, we're very close. My daughter and I are not close.
Is your daughter close with him?
No. She will talk to him maybe a couple times a year.
Well, in other words, he's made no effort even now to try to make amends with the children.
No. I mean, he'll email my son, but knows at this point that my son doesn't want anything to do with him.
Now, is it because he's gay or because he's just a lousy father?
He's a lousy father. He was verbally abusive to him, too. My son asked him, before we found out he was gay, when he asked me for the divorce, my son was 16 at the time. He goes into him and says, why do you want to divorce my mom? And he said, told him, oh, it's just been so many years. And so you know, he's not only lied to me, but he's lied to his kids, too. And my son can't trust him. So a relationship that's not based on trust is not a relationship.
Now, does he have a relationship with any of your ex-husband's family?
With my family?
No, with your ex-husband's family. Your son.
Let me say that again, Bonnie, because I'm not sure I heard you again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Does your son, is he in touch with any of your ex-husband's family?
Oh, my son, no. They have not contacted him, and Mark has not made an effort to contact them either.
Uh-huh.
So like I said, there was not much of a relationship to begin with because we were on the move. We moved every couple of years, and ever since the kids were born, I mean, we've been here and there, and Larry's mom has come and visited us a few times, but not enough to be close to the kids.
When you were in the service with him, did you develop any friends together? Like, did you have couple friends that you were friendly with?
He would have some of the guys he worked with over for cards.
Uh-huh.
I would play cards once in a while. We went over to a couple's house. I remember one time in New Mexico, we went over to their place, and it was a nice couple, and I said, well, why don't we have them, you know, over to our place for dinner?
Uh-huh.
He pretty much ignored me. It never happened.
Uh-huh.
There was the guy that he worked with in Edwards. This was in Tehachapi where we lived. I became good friends with this guy's wife, and we as couples did go out to dinner a few times and that. But, I mean, we didn't have, I mean, as I observe other couples and,
uh-huh.
and their, you know, outside relationship with other couples, it was not the same. Ours is very sporadic, not very often.
Uh-huh.
Dolly, I have a question. This is Misty. You know, I don't know about yourself. I know with myself going through this type of marriage, I allowed my now ex to limit even my friendships, and I didn't have very many people close to me during the marriage. I really helped to shove them away and isolate myself even more. Now, during your marriage, because you had a longer-term marriage than myself, did you find it hard to make friends, or did he put your friends down in terms of, you know, because you moved around a lot being in the military, did you feel any isolated during this time or lack of close friends during the time?
Yes, because of moving around, we had neighbor-type friends. We lived on base a couple places, and, you know, it just never developed into a close relationship. He seemed to scare them off, really. I remember this
mm-hmm.
one instance. I had a friend, a gal friend, who had a couple of kids. I think she had three kids, and our two, her youngest daughter and my daughter were the same age, and they would play together. And this gal came over one day with her little girl, and just had a look of desperation on her face. She said, "Could you watch my daughter for me for a couple hours, please, because my older daughter at school just called that she broke her leg at school and I have to go." And my husband, without even looking up, he says, "We have plans for this evening." And I look at him and I go, "What plans other than going out to dinner? All I heard was you wanted to go out to dinner."
Uh-huh.
And then she interrupted me and she just said, "No, no, that's okay. Don't worry. I'll find someone else." So I thought, wow, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, my ex really just from friends and family. And, I, you know, of course, I helped play right into it and allow it because he always had something negative to say, didn't like the friends I chose. And, you know, looking back, for me, hindsight was 20/20, and it was just to further isolate me.
Right. I
exactly.
think that's a very common trait that these men like to
mm-hmm.
isolate us.
Uh-huh.
Because they're afraid the truth is going to come out if somebody looks too closely.
Yeah, whenever my sister visited and her family, he would always pick on what they did, what he didn't like what they did or what they said. He would pick on my family when they would visit.
Yes, my ex did that as well, every time.
Mine
you
too.
Know, when his family came to visit, when his family came to visit, all was well, and I was supposed to put on this wonderful spread of, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and be the happy wife, and everything was beautiful. But when my family came, or my friends, he would literally retreat to the bedroom and not come out.
Yeah.
He would be bad about
it. I had a friend over, he moved us on this farm in Washington, and I had a friend over, and he literally walked in the one door of the kitchen and walked right through the kitchen, right past her, didn't even say hello.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at my friend thinking, whatever, you know.
Not warm welcome, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they find
yeah.
it in the, I think they're afraid because they feel that if people get too close to us, they're going to say something or we're going to say something and the secret's going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's the purpose of isolation.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree. I agree with that.
I mean, I've seen men go to the extent of moving their wives across the country, other states, you know, totally removing them from wherever their families are.
Oh, yeah. And then when my dad was in intensive care, it was only 6 weeks after my mom died. Right after he told me, you know, I called, remember I said, and he says, well, what do you want me to do about it? And I got over that shock, and then my dad goes into intensive care 6 weeks later, and my sister calls and says, now you need to come out because your dad's in intensive care. And so I told my husband, and he says, well, you can't go right now. We can't afford it. And so I told my sister, he says, we can't afford it right now. And she says, I have money from the estate. I will pay for your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And he still said, well, I don't want you going right now because Annie's birthday is next week. She'll be two. Like, it makes a big difference that I'm home on her second birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's in intensive care. And he wouldn't let me go see him.
And you listened to him, right?
I did. I don't know why. It was the dance of crazy, like Misty was talking about before. You just do their crazy dance just to keep them happy.
Exactly.
You don't want to cross them because you know the repercussions. If you cross them, you know, you just don't want to do it.
And I think in the midst of dancing in that circle of crazy, don't you feel like that if you do certain things, it'll make the marriage better? Because you always live on borrowed hope when you adjust to the new thing that you're supposed to be or the new expectation. You find a way to try to adjust to that. And if you don't do it, like, for example, possibly going to go see your dad, if something just fell apart, it'd been all your fault, you know? So I find that looking back in my circle of dancing in the circle of crazy, of how I just further internalize the marital issues as being my fault and my burden.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to agree with that 100%, Misty, that we're always looking to see what we can do to make those marriages better. Internalizing that the failure is our fault because we don't know the truth.
Yeah, and that's why I think at the end, I pushed him at the end because I was so hurt that I had tried so hard. And for what? Because he was gay and he was hiding it. And I'm the one who tried all these years walking on eggshells, trying to keep him happy, trying the best I can do through marriage. And it was like, why did I bother? He finally figured out the whole thing. He just used me as his cover. And look at the sacrifices all those years that I have made.
I'm just wondering, did you ever find out if the guy he's with was ever married?
No, I've never seen a picture of him.
Okay.
All I know is he works for Southwest. I have never even seen a picture of him.
Uh-huh. Well,
that happened in my situation, Bonnie. My ex did pair up with someone that was married as well at the time.
Uh-huh. I know some of the gay men that I speak to who are married, they feel it's always safer to be with another married man.
Mm-hmm.
Because they feel that, you know, they're both in the same situation. One's not going to tug at the other one to leave his marriage.
Exactly.
Each other.
Well, I thinking back, and that once they brought up that blackmail thing, I was wondering. I remember him wanting to go to Saudi Arabia, and And he said, well, you can stay here with the kids if you want. And he was up for full colonel. And
wow.
And yet he wanted to go to Saudi Arabia. I said, you know you're up for full colonel. You know the general here will give you full colonel. Why do you want to move now and take the chance going over to Saudi that you'll make full colonel over there? And he seemed to think, well, you know, that could still be possible. Well, guess what? It wasn't. He got over there, and the two-star general wanted him to be full colonel. He even flew from Saudi Arabia to where the board meets in Washington, D.C., to put a good word in for him,
mm-hmm.
but some pilot got it instead. Now, he was a shoo-in when he was at Kirtland in New Mexico to make full colonel because that two-star general there liked him and would give the definitely promote to him, and yet he moved at that time. And I think back then, and then the gal that my friend who was my husband's boss's wife, she
mm-hmm.
said, why did he want to move to Saudi then? She says, there's got to be a reason. He would not give up full colonel, his shoe-in for full colonel, to move to Saudi for what?
So what do you think the reason was?
Well, he might have been being blackmailed.
You think somebody was blackmailing him?
I think so.
Yeah. You know, I think that what people don't realize is there's so much of this in the service. Because of the don't tell, you know, don't ask policy, that
mm-hmm.
there are so many gay people that are hidden in the service.
Yeah.
And I think that that's certainly a possibility. Maybe he was being blackmailed.
It just, the move then made no sense. But like, you
but
all
then again,
know,
the whole
nothing makes sense,
Holly, right?
Yeah, exactly. Nothing made sense anyway. But, I mean, this one was, like, way didn't make sense because this had to do with his whole career.
Well, I will say this, because I feel that it is important to say, because some of these men are just horrific, like your ex-husband. Not all. I mean, some men really, you know, feel very regretful, you know, they feel remorseful. You know, there are some good guys out there that really try to be responsible fathers, responsible ex-husbands, but yours was definitely a jerk,
mm-hmm.
I mean, no matter how you look at it. And I
yeah.
think the worst part is not even just taking away, you know, 3 decades of your life, but having you live in a state of confusion and chaos and always feeling doubt about yourself, to do that to someone and have no conscience about it, to never feel that, you know, they're sorry for doing it, but just feel, you know, resentment towards you, just
yeah.
shows the lack of character that that man has.
Oh, I know. And when he asked for the divorce, oh, I internalized it as my fault. I just took it to heart because he said, we've just grown apart. And I, no matter what he said, you know, it wasn't like it was your, he didn't come out to say it was your fault
mm-hmm.
in those exact words, but I internalized it as my fault because we've grown apart. I thought that was because I made it so. And it wasn't until I found out the reason that that made sense. And so at that point, it was really hard for me to find out the truth, but it was almost like such a relief to know it wasn't my fault.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, at least you must have had some sense of satisfaction knowing what the problem was. Because
yeah,
all our poor women who suffer forever because their husbands just can't be honest with them.
I know. And then when I asked for that, once I knew the issue, and I invited him to be honest after I had accused him of hiding behind me, at one point, it was several weeks later, I said, why did you do this? And he couldn't even look at me. He tried to walk right by me.
Mm-hmm.
And I blocked him. I stepped in front of him. I said, why? And he tried to walk around me again, and I stepped in front of him. I said, I asked you why. I want you to be honest with me. I want to know why. He walked right by me again and opened the door, and I shoved him out the door. And he turned around in shock, and I just looked at him, and I said, you bastard.
Terrible. that this man stole away so many years of your life, and for what?
Yep.
And once again, as you know, I do say that most of these men go into these marriages loving their wives and hoping that they can make it work and those feelings will go away. But there's always a percentage of those men who go into the marriage with no intentions of doing the right thing, but just feeling they need this as their cover.
Yeah.
And especially those men who have a military career.
Yeah. All his career was everything to him.
Mm-hmm. So, now what? Where are you today in your life? Feeling better
yeah.
about yourself?
No, I'm actually quite lost because I have no family. I have no friends because we've moved around so much. I'm living in a home that should have been sold at the time of divorce, which is before the crash, the
mm-hmm.
housing market crash. I wanted it sold then. He wouldn't sell. He wouldn't sign the papers to have the house sold because he knew that he wanted to use it to manipulate me so that I would settle on his terms, the divorce.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't, and so he didn't sign. And so now I'm living in the house, not because I want to, but because it needed to be fixed up. I put $50,000. He's still manipulating me. I had to put $50,000 to fix this house up because he did nothing over the 23 years that it was a rental.
Uh-huh.
And I'm living in it, fixing it up, sitting here for 2 years so I can sell it and save capital gains tax.
Uh-huh.
And I'm at the point now where it's like my next step is, okay, where do I belong? Where's home? I don't even know where home is.
Oh, no. Well, you've been displaced for 30 years.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be hard to, you know, find yourself a comfort level.
Yeah. There's places where I do have some family.
Mm-hmm.
Like Chicago area, I have my sister's husband and daughter. They live there, two daughters. But I don't want to live in Chicago. I have a nephew and a brother in Arizona. I don't want Arizona either. I like Washington, but nobody's here,
Yeah, but that's why I say when you give up 30 years of your life, you know, 3 decades of your life and have to start brand new, that's
yeah.
kind of what it's like doing, you know, and everybody else has already been moving on in their lives and they have their relationships and they have their friendships and they have their marriages.
Yeah,
and
you think all I have now is my son. And what happens if I need long-term care? I have no insurance
uh-huh.
for long-term care. He's the only one now that I can count on if something happens to me to take care of me.
And that's not a good feeling.
No.
Especially because you may end up marrying a girl you don't even like and she won't want him talking to you.
Yeah.
Right? You just
yeah.
can't count on kids today.
No. Well, my son I can count on. He's a really good kid.
Oh, he's only kidding you on that one.
We're really close, though. But, yeah, I know.
He may want to move away someday. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't.
You know, a job may take him somewhere, a career or college or whatever the case is.
Yep.
You'll have to come move east. I think that's the only solution, Dolly.
Yeah.
You'll have to come live with me here in Philadelphia. You can start a whole new life here.
Yeah.
You'll have a lot of friends. I'll hook you up with all of mine.
Yeah.
This might be the answer, actually.
Yeah.
Or else you can go to Florida with Misty, but not in the heat. You'll come here in the summertime.
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't like summers that are so hot and humid. I've gotten used to the Washington summers that are so mild.
Well, we're planning to be seeing you in the fall, me and Misty.
I hope to. Maybe
we're
going to
be going
together.
To Portland. So we're not.
Oh, you're
going
to.
We're not going to go far from you, right?
Oh, you'll be in Portland.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, that's about a two and a half hour drive.
No, you could do that, right?
Oh yeah, that's not a problem.
Yep, that's where Misty and I are going to be planning to go in the fall.
Oh boy.
So we can see all of our West Coast friends.
Oh, that'll be nice.
It's been, you know, a few days together.
Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Well, that's great. So, anyway, I wanted to thank you so much for sharing your time with us tonight because I think that so many women will be able to relate to your pain. and what you've been through and how it's affected you. And that's the whole purpose of this program, is so that other women can make a connection and feel that they're not the only ones who are suffering this way. Wouldn't you say so,
Missy?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's so amazing. Every night we have, when we have a different speaker on or someone else on the topic, just know that you're reaching so many other women out there, because even though our situations are different, we're still the same fabric. There's many threads that run the same throughout this fabric that we share, being in this gay, straight marriage. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing what you've been through.
Right, and, you know, sharing your pain, because, like I say, there are other women out there who are also married to military men who are going through the same kind of experience, and other women who have been isolated, you know, moved around, now they have nobody. So I
mm-hmm.
think by hearing it from you, at least they feel that there is hope and that you can survive. You do have to redefine your life and start it all over. But once again, you never know where that's going to take you, right?
Yep.
And, you know, yep. If anybody's interested in being in touch with Dolly, because she's a wonderful sense of support for other women, feel free to write to me at bondk@AOL, and I'll be happy to send, you know, your information her way.
Yep.
So, Dolly, we're going to say goodnight to you.
All right.
Sign off the air, and I hope that you'll call back another time.
Okay.
And be
thank
guest
you very
again.
Much,
and thank you so much. It was a pleasure hearing your voice and talking to you.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dolly.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Dolly. Take care.
Okay. Thanks,
all right,
ladies.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Oh, such a sad story, Misty.
Oh, I know. So many years.
It really burns me up, you know, when I hear this story, you know, from people like Dolly, who gave up their whole lives and for what.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, that doesn't reflect a lot of other men who really do try to make it up to their wives or do try to put things on the right foot with their children. But then there are those who just don't. And when you hear a story like that, it really makes you cry inside. So before
we sign off,
you know, we do want to mention once again that, you know, you can find more information about us at my website at www.gayhusbandswithans.com. I have monthly newsletters that I can send your way. We have online support chat. And Misty has her workshops for grieving and also for various other topics that affect straight wives. And if you'd like to get information from Misty, you can write to her at Misty Lynn Hall. That's MistyLynnHall@AOL.com. Or send me a note at bondk@AOL.com, and I'll be happy to send Misty your information. Also, you can check on my website if you'd like to read more information. I have 6 books that are out on this subject. Or you can go to www.bonniekbooks.com and pick any book, and you'll find yourself in there somewhere. So, Misty, it was another heart-wrenching evening, but I'm really glad that we could share this information, and I really want to thank Dolly so much for being part of this tonight. And what comments would you like to make?
Well, I think Dolly just really illustrated how that this does affect so many members of the family. It affects the friendships that we do try to create, and even the friendships that we're unable to create due to isolation. So I'm just really thankful for her honesty in calling in and reaching out to so many other women.
Mm-hmm. Well, Misty, I hope you have a wonderful week.
You as well.
Hope the weather's planning to stay good in Kentucky. We're looking to have a warm week here in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
But I think with spring and growth, you know, comes the rebirth of spirits, right?
Absolutely. Spring is my favorite season.
Yeah, mine too. So I want to wish all of you a happy week, and Misty and I will be back here next Sunday night to talk to you. So you have a good week, and Misty, have a good night.
You too. Good night to you as well, and bye-bye.
Bye.